Well, good morning, TNC family, on this final Sunday in May. We are in part five of a six-part series that's a little different from our normal podcast flow, a series called What About That? The series you created, because I'm simply reading your questions and then doing my best to answer them. And as I've said each week, it will be important to remember that the answers to these questions will have forever evolving wisdom. And so these are May 2022 answers. And I expect new information, discoveries, and realities will add wisdom to these questions in the months and years ahead, as will our further conversations together in the days ahead. Now, today I'm going to focus on four questions that are really, really important and which are sort of in a different category from the questions we've explored so far in this series. So far, we've explored the Bible's theology around questions like demons, heaven, hell, afterlife, sexuality, biblical hermeneutics, theological debates, and so on. But today, the questions take a turn to how to embrace the teachings of Jesus in a diverse and fast-evolving culture amid booming access to information and technology alongside, and often not easy to get along with, religious community. So let's dive in, and here's question number one. Number one, can you have a relationship with God without being part of the Christian religion? Can you have a relationship with God without being part of the Christian religion? Answer, yes, 100%, sure. But, yes, but I'm not exactly sure what you mean by, quote, the Christian religion. I mean, who or what defines the Christian religion? Is it my friend Betsy, who loves Jesus and who runs a nonprofit to help handicapped adults and in her spare time serves the homeless population in downtown Atlanta? Or is it one of our TNC elder board members, George, who loves Jesus and who treats everyone with dignity and respect and unconditional love, and is generous and is faithfully generous, because there's a difference between one-time generosity, periodic generosity, and faithful generosity. And George is faithfully generous with his time and friendship and wisdom and money and words and presence. Or does my neighbor a few doors down define Christianity? Because he loves Jesus, but is mostly angry about politics and inflation and immigration and folks rolling through stop signs in our neighborhood and trash collectors who don't return the bins to curbside after trash pickup each week. Can you have a relationship with God without being part of the Christian religion? Yes, but I'm not exactly sure what you mean by, quote, the Christian religion, because Christianity is, just like any other religion, diverse and multi-pronged and complex, which reminds me of the words of author, professor, Episcopal priest Barbara Brown Taylor, who says that when someone asks her, Professor Taylor, what do Christians believe about, fill in the blank, she says, quote, the only sensible answer begins with another question, which Christians? Because there are a lot of waves in the Christian ocean, and when you have met one Christian, you have met exactly one. Something I told a bank employee not long ago. Yes, I still go to bricks and mortar banks to make deposits and so on, and I almost always go to the same branch next to my house, and I've come to know the tellers and bank employees by name, and they know me. And one employee said to me not long ago, Pastor David, I went to a church with my husband last week, and they were serving communion, and a church leader there said to me that I could not take it if I wasn't of that specific denomination. And she asked me if that's normal in churches, and I said, it depends on the church and it depends on the denomination. And so we talked for a little bit, and I explained that Christianity is divided between Eastern and Western theology, and within these two divisions, there are six branches: Catholicism, Protestantism, Eastern Orthodoxy, Anglicanism, Oriental Orthodoxy, and Assyrian Christianity. And within each of these six, there are subsets. For example, in Protestantism, there are hundreds of different Protestant denominations. And then even within one of those specific denominations, different attitudes toward communion and women, sexuality, divorce, biblical inerrancy, tithing, the afterlife, and so on. Because Christianity is diverse and often complicated, like any religion. So back to the question, can you have a relationship with God without being part of the Christian religion? And now let me say, I do think I understand the spirit of the question, which is, can you have a relationship with God without adopting the label of Christian, without calling yourself a Christian? And I would guess, think about it with me, that the spirit of a person asking this question is they want to sort of distance themselves from the label Christian, especially in our era where the loudest folks claiming to be Christians on social media and TV and in politics are the ones most likely to cite their religion as the basis for exclusion and judgment. And where the loudest folks claiming to be Christians are the ones who seem most afraid of the future, of sharing power, of empowering women, minorities, immigrants, and so on. Where the loudest folks claiming to be Christians are often known for what they are against more than what they are known for being for. Can you have a relationship with God without being a part of that group of loud Christians? Yes, but if that is what you mean, if what you mean is, can I have a relationship with God if I just hang out with people who think like me and talk like me and agree with me, then I'd say no. I mean, I get it. It's more fun to hang out with people who think like you. I get it. It's more fun to go to work with people you like. I get it. It's easier to hang with folks who are easy to get along with. And it's actually a beautiful thing to see groups of people who just click, who just get along and like each other. I'm watching a ton of the NBA playoffs right now, and I'm especially enjoying watching the Warriors. And you can see it and you can feel it. They just like each other. They just do. And it's clear that this sharedness has something to do with their joy and success on the court. I mean, obviously they're great shooters and great athletes individually. But beyond that, maybe the greatest strength is their team chemistry. Like they legitimately like each other. And I get it. Good chemistry makes shared life way easier. It helps you, incentivizes you, changes your attitude, gives you more joy and focus. It elevates your performance. I get it. Life is better when you surround yourself with people you like and who share your theology and your politics and your same worldview. But if what you mean by the question is, can I have a relationship with God if I just hang out with people who think like me and talk like me and agree with me? Then I'd say no. Because to be in a relationship with God, TNC, you have to be in proximity to God. And God is never only with folks easy to love. Because the love God calls people to practice and promote is always sacrificial love. I mean, if you read the scriptures, the love Jesus models is disturbing and difficult, and it draws people out of their comfort zones and it represents an inversion of how we might ordinarily like to love. This is why Jesus says things like, if you want to hang with me and the ways of my kingdom, then, Matthew 20, the first shall be last, and the last first. And Matthew 23, the greatest among you will be the servant of all. And Luke 10, the true neighbor to you is the one who sacrifices their time and money to help others. And 1 John 3:16, we know we love by this, laying down your life for one another. And so, can you have a relationship with God without being part of the Christian religion? Well, if Christians are some of the hardest folks for you to love, then you'd better get around them. Now, that doesn't mean you have to buy into a series of beliefs or statements of doctrine. The Nicene Creed, the Westminster Confession of Faith, the four spiritual laws, the 27 fundamental beliefs. But can you have a relationship with God, at least a healthy one, if you don't embrace love, and especially loving those hard to love? Probably not. Okay, question number two. Is Jesus the only way to God? And this question is often in the context of the afterlife. Can I get into heaven without, quote, accepting Jesus as my Savior? After all, in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus is quoted as saying, no one comes to the Father except by me. Which always reminds me of a wonderful little parable about that verse. It comes again from the wisdom of Barbara Brown Taylor. She tells the story in her book, Holy Envy. Quote, a beautiful woman of faith, but not the Christian faith, was standing in line at the pearly gates where Peter was in charge of admission. And when it's finally her turn to walk to Peter, she starts pelting him with so many questions that he just waves her through, which concerns the next person in line who knows this person is not a Christian. Excuse me, the guy says to St. Peter, but I don't think she's supposed to be here. Which is exactly when Jesus sticks his head through the gates and says, it's fine, Peter. I know her, and she's okay by me. No one comes to the Father but by me, and she's okay by me. And I love that story because it gets to the heart of Jesus' love for everyone. Now, if the question, is Jesus the only way to God, is asking if somebody has to hear and know about Jesus in order to accept Jesus in some way, in order to go to heaven, well, then I'd say no, because of course the majority of the 108 billion humans who have lived on this planet have not heard of Jesus. But I do think I would add this, that I'm actually sometimes more worried about people who think they have heard the message of Jesus, but in fact, what they heard was so unlike the reality of Jesus' actual message that they still have yet to hear the real thing. This is why the Gospel of Matthew records that when Jesus' death was nearing and he knew it, he told his disciples what to expect when, quote, the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him. Jesus said, it will be as if he were sitting on his throne looking out at all the people of all the nations of the world, faced with the final duty of separating the sheep in the flock from the goats. They will, of course, have grazed together for ages by then, but at last it will be time for the metaphorical goats to go one way and the metaphorical sheep to go the other, and you can read the story in Matthew 25. Surprisingly, none of the people standing before the throne know which one they are. And some thought that they knew, but in Jesus' story, it's just a scene of surprise, because in the end, the criteria for telling them apart has nothing to do with their beliefs or their allegiances. Instead, it has everything to do with how they have treated the least important people in their lives, the ones who were shoved so far to the side that no one even saw them anymore. The ones who were too sick, too old, too strange, too poor, and so on. And I'm just saying, if by is Jesus the only way to God, you mean, do I have to, quote, accept Jesus as my Savior in order to, quote, go to heaven? Then I'd say, well, I'd say a lot of things, because it's probably not the right question. Because first, historically, folks who have considered this, they've tended to get it wrong. And secondly, it's a Platonic question that no one in the first century was asking, but that's a whole different discussion. And third, it's just above my pay grade to determine who are the sheep and the goats. And I'll just leave it there and move now to question number three. Number three. David, if my values don't align with religion, what should I do? If my values don't align with religion, what should I do? Well, first I would ask you what you mean by religion, because religion is a word that comes from the word ligament, that which holds things together. You know, the connective tissue that attaches bone to bone and is intended to hold structures together and keep them stable. And religion is different from theology or statements of belief. Religion is intended to be a set of routines and activities that connect you with God, your friends, and community, that help you deal with your questions and hopes and worries about the divine and about everyday life and so on. And so the question really is, David, if my values don't align with going to church, singing worship songs to God, reading the Bible, giving offerings of my money and time, praying, and in some cases believing in some things the leaders of my church are saying, David, if these activities don't seem to be holding things together, then what should I do? Well, first I'd say this. Please don't bail. Because yes, sometimes religious institutions do things and operate in ways that are hard to be aligned with. Sometimes religious institutions do things that go against our values. But let's be really clear. Religious institutions have no corner on the market on failing people. I'm saying other institutions, political, economic, civic, business, PTA, HOA, and on, also fail people. And we can't just go around bailing on institutions because they fail us sometimes. Because then we're part of the problem, not the solution. And by the way, the demolition crews have for too long been allowed to define the zeitgeist, the spirit of this era we're living in. But the future will be made by the builders and the rebuilders. And that's what we need to seek to be, builders and creators. And we need institutions dedicated to faith and love and generosity and to the promotion of integrity, trust, confidence, belonging, serving. We need institutions centered around the habits and routines of prayer and conversation and community and diving deeply into this book, the Bible. TNC, listen, no other book has better ideas for more transforming a culture and holding it together in healthy ways. I'm saying we need more people enthusiastic about revitalizing the local church rather than bailing on it. So if your values don't align with religious practices, what should you do? Well, I'd start with, don't use your frustrations with how institutions are currently failing or have failed as a license to bail. And even more, because this is what many folks do, Don't use your frustrations to move toward the practice of an individualized, privatized faith. I'm saying the concept of a human meditating on a high place somewhere, or being spiritual, not religious, or doing church from my lazy boy yoga mat, sandy beach, or baseball field, that is a dangerous idea. Because it sets up a very individualized faith where I will orchestrate all my time and relationships around my interests, hobbies, and passions, and introversions or extroversions, and I'll do it without a local church. Which turns out to be the exact opposite of Jesus' best vision for how God would operate and interact in our world. Listen, Jesus' original vision for the church is that it is a training camp for love. It is a school, it is a laboratory that trains people in the way of love. And love does not exist in isolation. Instead, you simply have to embrace routine interaction with folks around you, including folks, as we talked a few minutes ago, not like you. And what's great about the church as a training ground for love and growth is, in most other places in your life, you can sort of control your environments and your conversations. So you basically can isolate yourself with folks like you. But in the church, now listen, because it doesn't require money to come, because there isn't an entrance exam or a resume you have to submit before you come, because it's not a gated community, because there are not tryouts in the spring to see if you can join in the fall. In the church, it's designed to be a refuge where all sorts of people can gather to remind each other of the story we are all in, the one about how God loves us and is renewing our world and ourselves in spite of the damage that's been done. It's a place where we share communion and remember that we're all tied together in this human family. And yes, of course, nobody's perfect. And yes, sometimes you'll feel frustrated, bored, hurt, stressed, busy, tired, sad, distracted, or enticed inside by more sleep at your house or outside by beach weather. But you and I need a place and a space like this in which to experience the grace of God. And we need a place like this to hold us together so we can together learn and fail and forgive and move forward. Which leads to the final question for today. Does Christianity still matter? Yes. I believe the way of Jesus still very much matters because the Bible as we have it is telling this grand story, and it's a very specific story about how the Creator God loves the creation and how He has worked His purposes out, and then how He has astonishingly brought them to a dramatic conclusion with Jesus and has through Jesus launched a brand new era and a movement in human history. And for me, TNC, the Bible is just not a book of general religious instructions. Now, the general religious instruction does sometimes come along the way with the story, but the Bible is first and last and always and through a story, the true story of the world, and it comes with an invitation to join the story, to partner with the divine, so we together add justice and add beauty and freedom and truth and spirituality and connection and progress in our world. So the way of Jesus still very much matters, and it matters a lot. And we will stop there for today, which will allow us to start the continuing dialogue. And next week, we will dive into a final set of your questions. You can actually check out all the questions for this series on our website or at the weekend service. But I want to close now with prayer, so will you pray with me? God, I pray for every person listening now. I pray that we would have a peace and a respect and a humility as we explore these important questions together. And God, will you give us grace and wisdom, not just for these questions, but for our everyday questions as we navigate parenting and grandparenting and work and school and money and summer and friendships and social media and politics and on and on. We need your wisdom and presence in all of this. And now, TNC, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.